Hello and welcome to Artists Soar. This is a podcast for artists by three artists. We discuss all aspects of being artists, the good, the bad, and the ugly. The goal of each podcast is to provide solutions so artists can focus on their creativity and soar above. I'm Rachel Harshenko.
Jules McCullough.
Stephanie Weaver.
So what keeps you guys motivated working from home? Besides maybe not doing the dishes or the laundry.
Darn it, you took my answer. Avoiding household chores.
Now, I mean, and here we are. It's just, we're at the end of the year. But what, so I think we just want this to be like a good, like, what keeps us motivated? And hopefully we can motivate you to continue to have a good year next year. So what keeps you motivated?
My checklists. So I love checklists. I mean, I even have like that ClickUp. We use Microsoft. It's like a project management type software that allows you to put in all your tasks that you want to accomplish and then divvy them out by work days based on the projects and goals that you want to achieve. And that, you know, I get up kind of like every morning. I look at my checklist of things I need to do and then just go through them. And that sense of accomplishment of being able to check them off and knowing that you're taking those minuscule little steps to achieving an overall goal keeps you motivated.
So for you to stay motivated, you like to have a list. You're like, okay, here's what I want to do today.
Yeah, lists and ideas. I mean, sometimes the ideas, you know, the good idea fairies that come in the shower, those end up taking precedent over sometimes my list. But if I don't have any fresh ideas, the list is, you know, a godsend type thing.
That's good. Yeah. What is it? I forgot what it is. The one is some kind of, I don't know. I can't even think what it was called, but it's where you start the day, you always make your bed, then you always do this, and you always do, like, you have
rituals,
like rituals,
five
routines.
Things that you should always do every morning. Tips to, or like five successful habits. Right. That's what it is.
Right.
Shorten that, like.
I know you, see, do you do the morning pages, like writing three pages? I don't do the whole three ones.
No, I haven't in a long time, which is why I'm trying to get back into art journaling.
Yeah. Well, when you do art journaling, it's like a whole thing for you.
Yeah, it's more meditative for me.
Yeah.
Dang. For me, it's just like writing a bunch of things down and that becomes almost a planning session for me a lot of times too.
Are you still doing that?
I'm not as consistent like every morning, but the last two mornings I've been, I even wrote on the little thing this morning, day two.
that's great.
Because that helps a lot too.
Yeah, that does help.
Especially when you have those discouraging kind of unmotivational type of days. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. To remember what you're actually trying to do in life.
Sometimes I think the journaling, or when you are sitting there trying to come up with new ideas, even if you're sitting at the computer, thinking about what you want to do, that can be meditative and help you, like you were saying, the fairy ideas help you spur new ideas and come up with new things.
Yeah. And I mean, deadlines for me, you know, as we're sitting here talking, I'm like, yes, lists are important and everything. But for me, it really boils down to if I have a hard deadline, especially an expectation with an outside force, it really helps motivate me to keep on going.
Yeah. Was it a couple of years ago you did the 100 Days, 100 Arts?
Mm-hmm.
That was really cool.
Yeah.
You came out with some really fun and exciting, cute pieces out of that.
Did you ever get unmotivated during those times of doing those 100 pieces?
Yes.
And what'd you do? Just do it anyway or?
I would skip that day and then I would, you know, do seven pieces on a weekend or something like that, just so I was always at least a day or two ahead for those days that I just did not feel like doing it.
So it's okay to accept the days that you don't feel motivated.
Yeah.
I think we were in a lunch and learn, or maybe, I don't know who I heard this from, but it's easier to do smaller, chunkier, like small chunks of a challenge than the 100 days of art.
Yeah. Right.
You know, because you're like, oh, I could do that. That's not even...
It sounds like such a good number.
It's like, you know, it's not even half a year. You know, I could do that. And then you get to... Day 17, you're like, I'm done.
Yeah.
I have nothing else anymore. But someone was saying that, you know,
do smaller things, like, you know, take a red challenge, try and come up with three pieces that are with red, like a cool way of doing red or something else. 30 days, you know, do smaller chunks to stay motivated.
I don't know. I have a hard time with those types of things. Like when somebody else imposes their, I guess, idea of what should motivate me, you know?
You've come out with some really good work on some of our mastermind challenges, though.
But it was really hard. Because and there were some like it went like the Japan
thing. Yeah, that was
a fail all around. That was a fail all around.
I got nothing on that one. But
I did something on that one and I liked the piece, but it was hard.
It was definitely hard. But that's the whole point of the challenges.
Right.
But I think when it comes to, there's two types of motivation, right? You've got internally and then externally motivating factors. So the internal motivation factors, I think, are way easier to do than when you have an external motivation. And unless you're getting paid for the external motivation, then that's a little bit more internal because there's just some sort of result. But those external ones where like somebody says, hey, can you, paint my cat for me and you're not going to get paid for it. And you're just like, and you're trying to do it as a favor. That kind of goes on the back burner.
Yeah, that goes way on the back burner, unfortunately, even though I may be excited about it.
Yeah.
It's just the fact that it's not for me. It's for someone else. I'm not getting paid for it. There's no return on my investment of time.
Ooh, right. Excellent way of putting it.
Yeah. And so those things don't motivate me at all. And I've learned that over the years. Now I won't do stuff like that anymore because I know myself well enough to know that it'll sit on the back burner for a year gets touched.
I'll tell you a couple of ways that I have stayed motivated. One is taking classes and doing different, like we went and we took a class. And it was that abstract thing at the museum.
Yeah.
And I think it was like an acrylic.
Yes.
And so two mediums I don't really normally do. And it was like really hard. Mm-hmm. And it looked like it was going to be, it was a Kandinsky.
Yep.
And it looked like, and it was only part of it. And it, we were like, I'm like, oh, it's just a bunch of squiggly lines. And then you sit there and you're really trying to do it and not imitate, but like replicate it. And you're like, this is hard. And it was fun. And we were like the last people done. And like, I think we were the only ones who finished.
Really?
I don't think anyone else finished.
Really?
Yeah, it's hard.
It was really, kicked my butt. But then I was like,
abstract is really hard.
It's really hard. And I like, you know, started, it just motivated me to look at art differently that way.
Okay.
So I kind of love abstracts and I'm like, what is he trying to say? And you know, like, what are they trying to say? Are they saying anything really? Or is it just their feelings? You know, is it an emotion I'm supposed to get or whatever?
Yeah.
And then the other way that I stay motivated is through your class, Positive Painters, which we meet on Wednesday nights and Friday afternoons. And it is a bunch of completely different people. And we Zoom and we paint whatever. And sometimes we have challenges and sometimes we don't. Sometimes we're like, what are you working on? What are you working on? What are you working on? You know, and we're all working on something different. And then they give you good, positive feedback.
Yeah. Having that and dedicated so time fun. And dedicated group to bounce with.
And I like even, and I'll bring in Jennifer Redstreet, and she teaches classes down at the studio at Low Mill, like watercolor. And we've all taken her classes.
Yeah.
And that is so much fun because it's, again, a medium that I don't normally work with. And I love, though, and it's so much fun. And it's a different way of just expressing. And she has cute stuff to paint. So it kind of, I'm like, oh, I can do that.
So your motivations are like classes, being with people and trying new things.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense.
You know what I mean? Like making myself, like scheduling time to go out and do, like really forcing myself out there.
I'll go back to that book, Artist Way, and the 3 days of journaling, the 3 pages of journaling. Yeah. But that sounds like what you're talking about, Rachel, is like a artist date.
Yep. Artist date.
Where you're supposed to once a week schedule something with just yourself or some friends where you get together and no pressure, create.
Yep. Create art. And that's why I'm trying to do the journaling thing in the mornings again. That's just no pressure involved. It's not for anybody else but me. Mm-hmm. And it kind of combines the artist way with the art, doing some art.
Right. Well, and then you guys also went to Birmingham recently.
Yes.
Yeah.
How did that motivate you or inspire you or keep you you motivated?
That did. That inspired me so much. So
tell everybody what happened. What y'all did.
What had happened was, they really need to bring that back on Saturday Night Live. But we went to the Van Gogh immersion exhibit, and it was really interesting to see his artwork, kind of get immersed in his artwork. And I know from that, even before that, I started working on this little painting of a little mouse, and he was painting, but he's Vincent Van Mouse.
I know, he's so cute.
And we were in our paint class on a Wednesday night, and I was showing the girls, and I said, yeah, I've got his hair starting to be brown. I think I should paint it white because all the other mice that I paint are white. And then I said, no, I'll do it red. And then somebody was like, oh, cut off his ear. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm cutting off his ear. So now the mouse has like
a bandage
around his head. And he's like, so stinking cute. But after the Van Gogh exhibit, I finished the painting and just seeing like his works and seeing the room, because I painted his room that Van Gogh had and with the mouse in it, painting the starry night in my little painting. And so that inspired that. And I've got a couple of little ideas and series and stuff in mind for that.
But bless his heart, he was tormented, I think.
Yeah, I think he was too. And I don't think he was mentally unstable as everybody wants to.
I don't think so either. I think he was more like very depressed.
Well, I think he was exceptionally
gifted.
Gifted and smart. He was an Einstein level smart, in my opinion.
Which made him stand out
and be different. Yeah. And then he was, you know, which could cause some depression and stuff too. But I don't think nobody understood him. Yeah. I think it was more he wasn't understood. I don't think he was as mentally ill as people.
But you guys went. It was like two carloads of painters and creatives. And y'all went and enjoyed the afternoon together.
I know. After that, I painted, three paintings that weekend?
Yeah. Of course. Our friend Julie Fry. Shout out to Julie Fry.
Yeah. But yeah, we all shopped and bought a whole bunch of art supplies. And I know I painted three paintings that weekend. And just going out and seeing
Can we name their business, Ethan?
Alabama Art Supply.
Alabama Art Supply, shout out.
Yeah, it was a great little shop. I think it's family owned Birmingham.
If you go to Birmingham to Alabama Art Supply, tell them you heard it on our podcast.
Yeah, Artist Soar.
Yep.
Yeah, because that's a great little shop. They are very, very helpful.
Very helpful.
So we had a good time.
Yes, we did.
And see, both of you guys came back and started something new. You started your art journaling more.
Yeah, I mean, that was something I was trying to start before anyways, but really what motivated me was rearranging my It's like, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it right.
There you go.
But yeah.
Sometimes just moving your space around can keep you motivated too.
That is so true.
It freshens things up.
Yeah.
Definitely freshens things up.
So that's our excuse when we change it again.
That's what I tell my family. I wasn't having the right mojo and energy flowing.
The chi wasn't right.
Yeah, exactly. My son still makes fun of me for that. My back was to the door. It wasn't feeling right.
Yeah.
I wasn't allowing stuff into my life.
Yeah.
But I tell you, I get motivated just from what other people are doing.
Yes, mm-hmm. I do too. Sparks like, tons of ideas.
It does, and just like walking around Low Mill.
Oh, yeah.
You know, sparks ideas, just seeing different things and looking at what other artists are doing.
Just getting out can help so much.
Yes.
Because I don't know about you guys, but I live in my studio from like 9 o'clock till about 5 o'clock. And I come out.
And sometimes even after that.
Yeah. And so getting out, like, I'll be honest, when we went to the immersion exhibit, I was dreading it until the day of. And I was dreading it because I felt like I needed to be in my studio doing my work.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to take the time to go play.
Right. And you have to take the time to go play.
It was so.
Because what else are you going to put into your artwork?
Yeah, I know. You have to go out.
Yeah.
You got to reconnect with people and in the world around us, because that's what develops.
And it doesn't have to be like a big thing. Like it could just be lunch.
Yeah.
Right.
Walk around your museum or go to the museum gift shop or
heck, just walk around a park.
Around the park. See what's in bloom or not in bloom.
Yeah.
Get some ideas.
And if you're in the really, you know, cold areas, find an indoor shopping center or retail therapy is always good for, you know, window shopping. Mm-hmm. Like, in fact, when we were at a local Bridge Street, a local shopping area here the other day, I was actually taking pictures of some of the window displays for ideas that I saw in them. So, I mean, you never know where you can, but getting out will really help motivate some ideas.
Yeah. And we're in the holiday season right now. So we've got like a lot of things happening. Yeah. Tinsel trails, all these trees are decorated and they're pretty and lights. And so.
I know. Just walking around. We went to Pink Palace in Memphis, Tennessee. It's we've been doing that with the kids ever since they were little, because they have Santa Claus and everything there. And but they have all these Christmas trees decorated and by different organizations and stuff. And I'm walking around. They had a Harry Potter tree. And yes, I haven't shown you guys these pictures, but they had like all these little vignettes kind of set up around there. And I'm like, oh my God, that's a great still life. And I'm like, click, 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 click.
Yeah.
Everybody's like already past me waiting to go to Santa Claus. And I'm click, click, click. Just 1 minute. And then, but that was so motivating. I haven't painted any of them yet.
Yeah. And I go into stores just to get ideas for patterns and little ways to display stuff. So like I was walking around Anthropology because they always have such cool stuff for design and interior. So I'm taking pictures. And I'm like, somebody's going to come up to me and ask me why I'm always in here taking pictures.
Now, they always have cool displays.
But they do. They have really cool displays. And it's just, it's great ideas. In fact, my flamingo piece was motivated off of one of the chairs that they have inspired off of one of the chairs they have at Anthropology.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you just never know.
Well, we were talking to Jennifer Redstreak, golly, this is probably about 2-3 years ago. And she just goes into the supermarkets and will take pictures of all the produce and stuff and paint that. I'm like, that's brilliant. You don't have to buy the stuff to bring it home.
You just have to get out of your house. Or, I mean, another place for great inspiration is if you have a Hobby Lobby.
Oh, I love it. Yeah,
walk around. Yeah.
They have such great stuff.
Anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're like, I can do that.
Home Goods is another one for inspiration.
Okay, so you're going to think, I'm a big nerd, but so I get a lot of inspiration from books, like in reading and things like that. And John and I were reading a book and of course I've forgotten the name of it all of a sudden. I'll have to remember, I'll add it. But anyway, one of the characters is a little alien, Rocky. And I started like, I need to paint Rocky. And, you know, and then when I was like, I'm going to Google. And some people had already done little renditions of him and stuff. I'm like, okay, these are my people. So. But sometimes you just get it from a book or reading or watching TV, which you don't want to do too much. But
well, when I was painting some portraits and just trying to get a handle on painting features and nose, TV is a fabulous thing to like pause and take a picture because they always have very dramatic lighting.
Yeah.
Especially like the TV show Supernatural. I was totally into that. Watched them all. But, and Dean's not hard to look at. So so I would like pause it and because he always had like the dramatic lighting and stuff. That was,
Okay. So the book was The Last Flight by Julie Clark.
The Last Flight.
It was really good. I take that back. Hold on.
It was not The Last Flight.
No, it was Project Hail Mary by Andy Weir.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. She reads a lot of books. She has another podcast called Bubbly Bibbly. So if you're interested in books and putting a really good beverage with that book, Bubbly Bibbly.
Bubblybibbly.com. But yeah, I get a lot of good, I mean, and like right now I'm reading Hamnet, which is, it's a really cool take on Hamlet and Shakespeare and actually Shakespeare's life, but through his wife's eyes and his son. It's really neat how it's written because they don't ever call him like William or so it's always my husband, his father.
Oh, it personalizes him.
Yeah. And that's really interesting. So now I'm like doing more historical fiction. And so now I'm looking at like different like scenes, like English sides and things like that. Oh, so that's a good, you know, inspiration. Neat. Yeah. Motivation. So sometimes you just have to find motivation.
I know. I've been lacking a little bit of motivation ever since, well, I finished those three paintings. I have been trying to figure out what to do next because usually I have anywhere from 3 to 6 paintings going on at once. And I've only got one painting going on right now. And I don't know what I want to paint next. And it's not like I don't have 20,000 images that I've taken over the years, but I just don't know what I want to paint next.
Well, maybe you just need the break right now.
Right.
Yeah. We were talking about that.
Sometimes a little wait time is not necessarily bad. Because it's not that you're unmotivated.
No, I'm probably one of the most motivated people you've ever met type of
thing.
Yeah. I don't sit still.
So maybe it's just waiting for that.
Right thing. I've got ideas. I just need to start them, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I was talking to another lady, you know, we just did probably about a couple podcasts ago. We talked about what to do when you have unrealistic expectations.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And one of those things that kind of tied in with what we're talking right now about motivation is when you lack boundaries around what you do. So, and how that impacts your motivation and your unrealistic expectations. And that's one of the things that when I finally realized that I've let my boundaries bleed over from work into personal, that I got back into writing in my journal because that's what I was missing. And I was starting to lose myself again, get unmotivated, I was getting unmotivated and I was getting
uninspired
and I was losing myself from my work because I was too much into my work.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you were so far in, you couldn't see the
trees. You were so deep.
Yes.
And you're too deep.
Yeah. And so now I'm getting back into my pages so that I can find that boundary again, get motivated again in my art. Because the art brings us joy.
Yes, it does.
You know, it shouldn't be one of those things that we get unmotivated
about. So when you do your morning pages, are you still in bed?
No, I'm not. Are you supposed to be?
No, you're up and drinking your coffee.
Yeah, I'm drinking my coffee.
One of the things that she says in there is, you know, before you do anything else, you should do your three morning page.
No, I'm up and drinking my coffee. Sometimes I'm up before everybody else.
Yeah. What are you putting on the three pages? So I haven't done
That's what I struggle with because I don't know what to write.
What are you're supposed to write? So, 3 pages?
Yes, 3 pages of whatever comes to your mind. So I literally have 3 pages full when I was doing it to say, I don't know what to write.
Yeah. I mean, sometimes that's what it is. It's like, I don't know what to write. My hands just kind of go on. I really like the color of this pen. That's what I was writing this morning. This pen has sparkles in it. I really like the sparkles in this pen.
Like literally.
I really did.
So does that help untangle?
It's supposed to clean the mind.
Yeah.
Not necessarily untangle the mind, but clean it so that you start fresh and you get all the negative energy out of your head.
So I like to think of like when you do yoga or meditation, they talk about this thing called monkey brain, where your brain is hopping from one subject to the other. Mm-hmm. That's kind of what the pages helps me do. And then I know there are times when I'm particularly negative, unmotivated, and I will actually write down, what do I need? What is it that I really want to do today? And I sit there and I wait for the answer. And then I'm just writing the answer. And then I go, okay. So, and that's my answer. Because you just gotta, that's what the morning pages do. They help you find the answers that you actually really need instead of living the life of being busy.
Yeah. Because you're getting rid of all the garbage. And so now you can see what you really need.
What, I want to put you guys on the spot. What is the one thing you feel like motivates you the most to put whatever your artwork down and out?
Wow.
Sorry.
Dead silence.
That's a hard question. I didn't know it was going to be that hard.
Yeah. I have no idea how to answer that one. I really don't.
I think for me,
because I think it changes.
Yeah.
Ooh, just got chills. Sorry.
I think for me, it's like my brain won't shut up until I do. And then it's done.
Yeah. I don't know. I just love the whole experience of the paint on the brush and the paint on the board and like creating something really cool and bringing light and dark. And I don't know. It's hard to explain.
The spirit of the actual creativity part.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I do love getting lost in the painting.
Yeah, because you are almost like not thinking. It's so weird, isn't it? Because you stop thinking,
but not thinking.
And you're like light and dark and shadows and you're like in color. And you're like, oh, and I need to put a glaze on this. I mean, like you just all of a sudden go into this other, you know, you go into the painting.
Yeah.
Magically.
Yeah.
It's so fun.
That's the way I actually phrase it is it takes me a minute to walk into my painting. And then when I walk into my painting, I'm creating the world that I want to see.
There you go.
That's a good perspective.
Yeah.
Never thought about it that way. But I create totally different than you guys do.
I think you're motivated by color.
Mm-hmm.
That's for me from outside seeing what you do.
Yeah, definitely motivated by color. But I think fun too.
Joy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I mean, obviously I have a fun life and I love my life, but I'm not like this bubbly little fairy bouncing all over the place. And I kind of feel like when I create, I'm creating a world that I think I'm in.
Mm-hmm. You want to be in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a great way of putting it too.
I
kind of do that, but not, like, I love your colors and I would love to be able to paint like that, but I don't. And so the world that I create, it's more, I guess, realistic colors, but in an animated way.
Yeah. And I'm more fantasy and cartoony, I guess, than I am. Like, in fact, I'm working on this winter piece right now. And I always start at it being more realistic. And then I just get frustrated and it ends up going right back to where I want it to be.
Where you want it to be.
Well,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah,
that's what it should.
When I say where I want it to be, I guess I'm saying my style.
Yeah.
Because I'm definitely not a realist when it comes to painting.
Well, you guys let us know how you are staying motivated working from home. Let us know if any of our ideas have helped you guys, because we want to be a force for good for artists. And until next time.
Thanks for listening to Artists Soar,
a podcast for artists by artists. And if you have any questions, feel free to email us at hello@artistssoar.com.
And be sure to leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts so that you can get more of us and we can bring in some sponsors to help you and help us.